Well, tonight, we move into our fifth week of our Momentum for Life series, and we've been using this acronym, DRIVE, to help us focus in on the daily activities that we need to practice to maintain momentum in our life. And D then stands for devotion. Devotion is that practice of being fully aware of God's presence and being fully present to God. It's taking time to know and experience God every day and in every way. R is for readiness, for lifelong learning. And it's stretching my mind. It is making new every day my wineskin in order that God might pour His new wine into me. It is making myself useful to God and relevant to others. And so today, we come to this third letter, the letter I, and I stands for investing in key relationships. Investing in key relationships. You and I are created for relationships. Out of the relationship of the Godhead, you and I were created. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says that God created a man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And then after God created man, God said, "It's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him." Oh, listen, from the very time of creation, people have experienced life through relationships. And the first primary relationship was between God and people. Okay, God and people. People and God. And what followed was this relationship formed between people and people. We are created for God, and we are created for one another. And so we relate to one another and to God through relationships. And in those places of our lives where we're very close to one another, we will also relate to each other by relationship rituals. Relationship rituals. And relationship rituals are different from everyone. Everyone here in this church have different rituals. Maybe you have that relationship ritual of every Saturday, breakfast as a big breakfast together with your family. And the whole family gathers around the table or so. Or maybe after church every Sunday, your relationship ritual is maybe going to grandma's house or to whoever's house and celebrating and sharing together in lunch. Whenever I was a boy, at Christmas, we would always unwrap the presents in our jammies. Each of us, we'd all get our own pile, and one at a time, we'd kind of go around a circle unwrapping a present, one on the time. It just took forever, you know. But we could all see what was going on. And when Susan and I got married and had children, we had to make some adjustment because her family, they would always get up and get dressed and then wait on grandma to get there and then wait on grandma to get there and then wait on grandma to get there. And and then they would have all the presents all sorted out and someone would kind of say go and they would just kind of all dive in and paper was flying just everywhere and who knows who gave what to who kind of thing. But that was her relationship ritual. And so when we got married and we had children of our own, our Christmas ritual became kind of like a mixing of the two. For our kids, we would, you know, get up, get cleaned up, and read the Christmas story and pass out presents and kind of go around the circle and opening one at a time and all. But you see, these are the kinds of things that are relationship rituals. And relationship rituals don't always stay the same, and neither do our relationships, right? Right. And we especially experience this in marriage. Marriage is like good wine. It should age well. Susan and I have been married almost 41 years, and I thank God dearly for her. And, you know, I thank God every day that she puts up with me and But I'm not the same person who took her by the hand some 41 years ago and said, I will. I really think that I'm a better person today. I know I'm much more mature than I was at 18. But in our marriage, our relationship changed. It changed for the better. As years grew, as years passed by, we certainly became even closer. And yes, man, we had our times of flux, but all in all, we grew closer, a deeper and more mature love for each other. And I think I'm certainly a better person because of Susan and our relationship. But relationships change, and sometimes they don't go that way. Sometimes they go a different direction. In fact, almost 60% of marriages end in divorce. And for those who get remarried, almost 80% of those marriages typically don't last. And so quite likely, every family in our church has went through the pain, the loss, the brokenness of divorce. I know I have. My brother, my sister, both divorced. Susan's brother and sister, both divorced and all. But, you know, relationships change for good or for ill. They change. That's just the nature of relationships. They will always, always change. Now, last week, I talked a little bit about work and how God intended our work to have a purpose. It was never God's will for our labor to be anxious toil. And we looked at Psalm 127. God intends our work to be relevant. He intends for it to be fruitful. And so our work is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. You and I were created to be creative, to stretch our minds, to use that creative gift in our work, in our toil. And so our work is truly, it's a gift from God. It is an expression of our worship to God. And very much like work, our relationships are also an act of worship. Our relationships are an act of worship. How we handle relationship, how we make time for relationships is an expression of our worship. Now, some of you might be thinking, man, what do you mean by that? You know, worship is what we're doing right now, what's happening right here at church. Well, no, it's part of it, but no, this is not just worship. Worship is all of life. It's everything. It is lifting up all of who and what we are to God as a fragrant, honorable offering to the Lord. Worship doesn't just happen for an hour, for you know, one day a week or a couple days a week. Worship encompasses all of life. Worship is not limited to little ceremonies, religious ceremonies when we gather together, because worship, it happens everywhere. Man, it happens in your car, at home, at work, at school. It even happens in your bathroom. All right? All of life is worship. All of life is worship, and God is present in every moment of it. And so it is by worship that we bring an honorable, excellent offering to God in our work and in our relationships. So let's look again at Psalm 128. This is the one I believe I read last Sunday. I want you to notice the integration of work and relationships as an expression of our worship. It says, blessed are all who fear the Lord and who walk in His ways. You see, that's the first, where this whole drive begins. It's devotion. Devotion to God. Every day, that's my act of getting in touch with God. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. When you fear, when you love the Lord, when you honor the Lord with your life, your work will become an honorable, excellent offering to God. And now it goes into relationships. They don't compete against each other from your work and relationships. They complement each other. Your wife, here's your relationship. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like little olive shoots around your table, kind of just popping up around your table kind of thing. Yeah. Thus is the man who blessed, who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all your days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children's peace upon Israel. Peace upon Israel. And so work and relationships blend together as an honorable, excellent offering to God. Now here's how we honor God and bring an honorable, excellent offering. We honor God by creating and maintaining margins for relationships. We've got to create margins for relationships. Margins are those blank spaces that you don't allow to get all filled up. On any piece of paper, that margin is that side thing, that empty space in between. And so long as you don't fill up those spaces with other things, but keep open spaces and times for relationships, we honor God. Isaiah 5:8 says, "Woe to you who add house to house and join field to field." In other words, all you do is work. Woe to you who's out there all the time, just going to make it happen. I've got to get my stuff done, and this is just who I am. Well, that's not honorable to God. Listen, it tells us that in other words, until there is no other place, because your whole day is just filled with work, you're left to live alone in the midst of the land. And that's what happens. We are created for relationships, and relationships are developed in the margins of our lives. When you don't have any margins, people are going to leave you alone because you're always on the edge, always doing something in your own little world. And that includes family. Oh, we get into trouble when we allow our work to fill the margins that are meant for relationships. Years ago, Susan and I made the commitment to make sure that we always scheduled time for us and for our kids. We would literally put it on our date books before the iPhone kind of thing. We had these little date books, you remember? And we would write in, you know, this is me and Susan's time. This is our time with the kids. Why do we do that? Because if we didn't do that, that time would get eaten up by the church, or it'd be getting eaten up by something else. But about 35 years ago, we started this practice. And you know why? Because we listened. Every year at annual conference, as we listen to pastors share, and they don't do that anymore because we kind of ran out of time for that now. But years ago, pastors were given the opportunity to share a few words at annual conference, and we kept hearing the same words over and over again. And you know what those words were? If there was only one thing that I could change, that I could have done different in my ministry, it would have been to spend more time with my family, with my spouse, or with my kids. And young pastors, it's not too late. Set aside some time. Set aside the time just for each other. I want to tell you, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. And pastors needed to hear that. I needed to hear that. And you know why preachers' kids are often looked at as trouble or little hellions? You know why that is? Because the preacher is always the preacher and not dad. Because the preacher is always gone doing something with the church. It's because the preacher has filled up the margins of his or her life and there's no more room, there's no more time for anything else. And preachers aren't the only ones in life who fall into this trap. What do you think? It matters not what our profession is. Think about it, folks. What's the most important relationship that we can ever have in life? That's our relationship with God, is it not? God is number one in our life. And then for many folks, God blesses us, or God gifts us with a partner for life. And maybe, possibly, later on, God brings children into our lives. And these are the primary relationships in the order that we are to set them in order. But where does work fall in that? It doesn't. It doesn't. These are the primary relationships in that order. And after this comes extended family. After this comes the church. After this comes your work. Listen, relationships are reciprocal. Your work, it is not reciprocal. Work is just what you do. You can't converse and curl up with your work. You can't throw a ball in the backyard with your work. You, when you die, I'm telling you, it's not going to be your work standing over your grave weeping. It's not going to happen. In fact, your work is just going to go on, just like you're not there, because you won't be there. But guess what? Although you're not replaceable, after you die, that very next day, someone else is going to be doing your work, but I'm not replaceable. Each of us is responsible for our own schedules and how we order our days. If I don't prioritize with whom I spend my time, and circumstances, you see, will, and other people are going to decide that for me. And so for me to present my life as an honorable, excellent offering to God, man, I must take value in the blessings that God has given me first, and that's my relationship with Him and my relationship with others, and that priority that I stand. Because you see, we all were created for relationships. Relationships are about that, are about ultimate meaning. We worship God by our actions with each other. And so I must prioritize how I'm going to spend my day. I've got to create and leave margins in my life, for this is my honorable, excellent offering to God. Folks, biblical values are transmitted through our time and our relationships with each other. We transmit the values of the kingdom of God to the next generation. And that next generation first begins in our own household with those whom we hold closest to our hearts. And then you and I are created to reach those who are in our scope, those outside our household, in our network of influence, and in that network of people whom we are in relationship with. And so I got to make sure, in other words, that I have large enough margins in my life, because, man, I love what I do. I'm committed to what I'm doing. This energizes me. It's certainly fun, and our work and our relationships complement each other as we make this honorable, excellent offering to God. That is, as long as we're creating and we're maintaining that large enough margins in our relationships, and we set the right priority in our relationships. So this evening, I just want to ask, how large is your margin? How large is your margin in your life? Is your margin large enough when it comes to your family? Is your margin large enough when it comes to your network of friends, your relationships? You set the boundaries. No one else does. And if you don't set the boundary, oh my, someone else is going to set those boundaries for you. It's just the way it works. So tonight, I want you to just kind of evaluate the margins of your life. And if your margins are too small, if your margin is just non-existent, then you can change that, but that change has to begin with you. You got to want it. You know, you have to see it as your priority. You have to say no more when it comes to those things that squeezes your time away from God, and especially against your family and your friends. You've got to see your highest priority as your relationship with God, and then with your spouse, and then with your kids and your grandkids and your work and your church. They all come after that. Or they don't. And when they don't, we're not really, truly offering our honorable offering unto the Lord. So what I want us to do for just a moment is to just pause. And in this quiet time, I want to invite you to just kind of go to the Lord in prayer and meet your Creator and ask Him to help you create spaces, margins, boundaries in your life so that your relationships won't suffer, so that they can grow, so that they can flourish, and so that you can present your life as an honorable, excellent offering to God. So let's take just a moment and let's pray in silence. We'll go now in the strength and the grace and the love of God who loves you and who loves all, and may you truly experience His peace. Amen.